Right, 1:24 is the time. Let's go to America now, and the race for the White House continues. Top Republicans are conceding the party's chances of winning the White House this November have all but evaporated after a series of new polls showed Hillary Clinton easily beating Donald Trump in several key states. In Colorado, she leads Mr. Trump by 14 points. In Virginia, she's ahead by 13 points. And in North Carolina, she's up by 9 points. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump suggesting the outcome of the November election could be rigged. With more on this, I'm joined live by our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Well, Simon, let's start with those opinion polls then on those so-called battleground states. First of all, why do they matter and what do they mean?
Well, so, Chris, I mean, the important thing about the battleground states is that they are the states where the U.S. presidential election is won or lost, because traditionally in American presidential elections, you already know that a state like Texas, for example, which is not a battleground state, it's always going to go Republican. A state like New York is always going to go Democratic. So it's kind of like filling in a jigsaw puzzle. You put all the states in the puzzle that you know are going to go one way or the other, and the states that are left are the battleground states. They are the states that sometimes go Democratic, sometimes go Republican, and those are the states that the candidates really need to win in order to win the keys to the White House. So they spend day after day after day making campaign appearance after campaign appearance in those key states. They are states like Florida, like Colorado, like Ohio, like Wisconsin, like Virginia, and like Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump was yesterday. And the polling data in most of these battleground states now makes devastating reading for Donald Trump and for his hopes of becoming America's next president. Even in Pennsylvania, where he was yesterday, he is 11 points behind Hillary Clinton. But you wouldn't necessarily have known that from what he said to the crowd in Erie.
We have to win the state of Pennsylvania. I went to school here. My kids went to school here. We're going to win Pennsylvania. If we win Pennsylvania, I'll tell you what, we are very much on our way. You know, the Republicans do have a tougher path, just so you know. Not my fault. Not my fault. It's a tougher path. For the presidency, it's just a tougher, winding road. But if we win Pennsylvania, we win Florida, where we're doing really well, I think we can win Ohio. It'll be over. It'll be off.
Now he's actually right to suggest that if they win all of those states, he will indeed secure the keys to the White House. But as I say, in Pennsylvania, 11 points behind Hillary Clinton. You know, it's almost in denial to suggest, as he did during the course of that rally, that, quote, we're doing really well here. He's got an enormous mountain to climb there and in the other battleground states. And the fact that he is so far behind roughly 90 days left. In this election campaign. Can he turn it around? Yes, of course he can, but it would be a turnaround of absolutely historic proportions at this point.
And Simon, Donald Trump now suggesting on I think several occasions the idea that the November election could be rigged. Is there any evidence to support that view?
Well, I mean, you heard him in that clip almost laying the groundwork for it, but he went into more detail in that rally in Pennsylvania. He has, in the past, as a throwaway line, said that he's worried that the election will be rigged, and he compares it to what he argues, and many Democrats would contend, was the rigging of the Democratic primary process that allowed Hillary Clinton to beat Bernie Sanders in a playing field that clearly was not in any way level. But, you know, there is no immediate evidence to support the view that there is any kind of national conspiracy to rig the election against him, not least because that would be unbelievably difficult to orchestrate, given that this election is not nationally organized. If you remember that contested election between Al Gore and George W. Bush, when everybody was waiting for the outcome of the hanging chads down in Florida, that demonstrated that every single state runs its own election. elections, some of them with more skill than others. So the idea that, you know, a Republican-run state like Texas would be actively involved in rigging the election against Donald Trump is clearly a very difficult assertion to back up. But he is laying the ground now for the possibility that in November he loses and says, well, I lost because the election was rigged against me. On his website, he's now appealing for election monitors, people to volunteer to monitor the polls on his behalf. There are two interesting aspects to that. One is that he's brazen enough to ask people to do it. That's not something typically that American campaigns, that presidential candidates ask their supporters to do. But secondly, it's further evidence that he lacks the organization and the money and the paid staff to mount the kind of get-out-the-vote operation that he would require in November, not just in the battleground states but across the country, truly to be competitive with the kind of organization and operation that Hillary Clinton is able to mount. So it is very interesting that he is laying this groundwork now. It may well be groundwork that bursts into bloom in November if he does indeed go on to lose.
I'm just thinking, what do Republican leaders want him to do? What do they have a plan? What, you know, what is their plan for turning this around?
Well, I'm not sure they do have a single plan. Republican leaders, if you ask them what they want him to do, would say they want him to reset his campaign. They want to try and find a way in which Donald Trump controls his message to a much greater degree. Supporters of Donald Trump in the last few days were saying he needs to be more scripted. He needs to shoot from the hip less. Donald Trump doesn't sound like a man who's particularly interested in doing that. Take a listen to what he had to say in Pennsylvania yesterday about something that his opponent, Hillary Clinton, he claims has said.
She said fairly recently, I don't like Donald Trump's tone. His tone isn't nice. And I said, here we have a country that's being taken advantage of by every country in the world. Our businesses are being taken, our jobs are being taken, everything's being taken. Here we have a world where ISIS is chopping off the heads of Christians and many others. And we have somebody up there who wants to be our president that says, I don't like Donald Trump's tone.
So she characterizes, he characterizes that as Hillary Clinton's criticism. It is, of course, the criticism that many Republicans have leveled against him. They want him to change his tone. He evidently has no plans to do so. The other conversation that's underway within the Republican Party is whether the party itself should continue funding his presidential campaign. There are many congressional candidates out there very worried about their own political futures who say at this point the White House is lost, but their seats in the U.S. Senate or the House of Representatives are not, they hope, at this point lost. And they're saying to the Republican Party, give us the money instead of giving it to him, because right now we're more competitive than he is and we need it more than he does.
Well, let's talk about Hillary Clinton. She's got some challenges of her own to face, including those ongoing questions about whether she improperly handled classified email when she was Secretary of State. And from what I see online, Bill Clinton waded into that issue last night. What did he have to say?
He did indeed. Ongoing questions that she largely tends to sidestep. Remember that she hasn't held a press conference for the best part of, I think, 280 days now. So she very rarely opens herself up to questions about the questions that relate to her use of email when she was Secretary of State. Remember that the FBI has concluded that she won't face criminal charges, but she did improperly and, in the words of the FBI, carelessly handle classified information, therefore putting national security at some degree of risk. Bill Clinton was making an appearance on behalf of his wife yesterday, and as he was about to leave the room, someone asked him about this email scandal the Republicans characterize it as, and he couldn't resist. He acknowledged the fact that his handlers were trying to drag him out of the room and get him away from an open microphone, but he couldn't resist standing in front of it and offering this view.
They saw two little notes with a C on it. This is the biggest motor bull I ever heard, that were about telephone calls that she needed to make. And the State Department typically puts a little C on it to discourage people from discussing it in public in the event the Secretary of State, whoever it is, doesn't make a telephone call. Does that sound threatening to the national security to you?
Bill Clinton riding to his wife's rescue and characterizing the flap over his wife's email as the biggest load of bull he's ever heard. That's certainly not the conclusion that the FBI came to when they took a look at what Hillary Clinton had been doing with email. He talks there about the little C for classified appearing on State Department emails. Well, perhaps there was a little C on some of those emails, but there are still some very major questions about exactly what she was doing. Putting those emails on a personal server at their home in Chappaqua up in New York, and also, of course, questions about the emails that we haven't seen, because she deleted them, concluding that they contained only personal information that had nothing to do with the US government, and therefore she didn't need to keep them. We may never know exactly what they contained.
And what about this Hillary Clinton launching her own podcast about the election?
Yes, well, talk about trying to sidestep questions. This is an attempt by Hillary Clinton to prove that she is open and available for conversation. She started a new podcast called With Her. And I think if you just listen to the first few seconds of it, you'll get a sense of the sugary and non-combative nature of the content that it creates. It takes the form of an interview. It's being produced by a private company that makes podcasts, but clearly is owned and hosted by someone who is politically very sympathetic to Hillary Clinton. Take a listen to this.
Before we get started, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What should I call you?
You can call me whatever you want to call me. You can call me Hillary. You can call me Madam Secretary. You can call me Hey You. Anything you want.
I'm not going to call you Hey You, but I'll call you Hillary.
Are okay.
You ready? Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Max.
Just makes your teeth stand on end, doesn't it? The tone of it continues. There are no substantive challenging questions. This is an opportunity for Hillary Clinton to control the message with a compliant host. And indeed, to be fair to the host and to the producers of the podcast, they are openly saying, look, this is not a work of journalism. This is part of the campaign's outreach. But it does demonstrate once again that she is very uncomfortable sitting down with reporters and journalists, and only comfortable in environments where she completely gets to control the message. That, of course, raises interesting questions about how accountable she might prove to be to the media in the increasingly likely event that she does win the keys to the Oval Office and move in there next January. She's had a very, very tough relationship with the reporters who are covering her campaign, granting them very, very little access to her. She's not the kind of woman who walks to the back of the press plane and shoots the breeze with reporters on a regular basis, and she also doesn't sit down and take formal questions from them on a regular basis. But honestly, if you're Hillary Clinton, from her point of view, you're now so far ahead in the polls, the only conclusion you could come to is that there's no need for you to sit down and talk to reporters, because you just don't seem to need those interactions to boost your prospects currently of winning the keys to the White House.
So sounds like you've got a rival in the podcast stakes. And
I know. Everybody's got a podcast, but of course no one has got a podcast quite like LBC, Chris.
Indeed. Just remind us what's on your podcast. It's called Race for the White House.
My podcast is a journalistic endeavour. It is a weekly podcast. You can get it every Friday, free of charge at lbc.co.uk. Perfect for your weekend listening. This week we take a look at the past week in the American presidential election. We take a look at the difficulties Donald Trump has had on the campaign trail. There's more in there about Hillary Clinton and her emails. We also hear from one prominent Republican senator about why, in a very anguished way, she has decided she cannot back Donald Trump's bid for the White House. And at the end, you'll hear a few words from me about objectivity in coverage of this presidential election and how at least I am striving to maintain it.
as ever. Thank you very much, Simon Marks. That's our US correspondent live from Washington for us. As Simon says, you can subscribe to that weekly podcast about the presidential election online at lbc.co.uk. It's called Race for the White House. It's out every Friday, and of course, it's free.